Okay, you guys, listen. Liz speaks very softly. She's going to pray for projection of her voice.
Yeah.
Just like Jesus did.
Yeah.
And so if you guys could really be quiet, that would be really helpful.
Just to, God, it's such an honor to be with you guys. It's such an amazing culture here. We have a ministry back in England, and we are growing the same culture. It's his heart, isn't it? Just to love one another, to see each other through the eyes of his heart, not to define each other by our weaknesses and by our soul's journey in this realm, but to understand the value of who we are. I just loved everybody celebrating you then. Is your name Anne-Marie?
Hannah Marie.
You know, I just could feel how precious and valuable you are to God, of course. You know, and everybody was reflecting that. The unconditional love of God and the celebration of each one of us. It's just awesome, isn't it? To be part of the body of Christ. Wow. Okay. I'm going to keep it really short. What I do by the grace of the Holy Spirit is facilitate encounter, because all of us, that's what we're here for, isn't it?
Yeah.
So as I'm speaking, I'm going to share a couple of encounters that the Lord's given me. Basically, I was brought into the kingdom 22 years ago through a physical visitation from Jesus. So, holy sha!
Wow. I'll put my foot on this.
Right. I'm going to zip through these encounters, but what I know will happen to you if you just start to listen with your spirit. Go in through the word. I'm going to share the testimony of Jesus, as you guys know to do. Just begin to accept the invitation that his testimony is for you. It's a spirit of prophecy. Access the realm that I'm talking about and go in and begin to engage this for yourself. The testimony of Jesus, I have come to understand, releases the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. So as we share his stories, his spirit comes over his word and it reactivates. So what I'm sharing, for the last 22 years, the Lord has taken me through encounter after encounter, understanding the different aspects of who we are in him. So my passion is that all of us would attain the fullness of the stature of Christ and live a vibrant, living connection with him. Because I know I was having encounters with Jesus before the church told me I couldn't.
Come on.
You guys are in a very best place. That, you know, you're so blessed here because you're being taught that the theology, the gospel of the kingdom is from glory to glory to glory, living in encounter to encounter to encounter to become more like him. You know, we come forth in the image increasingly of the one that we behold. We are created to worship him. And as we see him, we see who we are, and we become increasingly transfigured. So holy sha. Okay, so as I share this encounter, what I felt the Lord wanted to do was recalibrate you, realign you on the inside into the reality of that the core of your being utterly loves God. So sha. Ha. This experience changed my life, because what it did was it showed me that we can love him. We do in the core of our being, and there is a grace by the Holy Spirit resting on us to free us up to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So it's reactivating you back into the place of that first love encounter, and to break off you any work of the enemy where the enemy has been telling you that you don't really love God, you're not good enough. You know, whatever compromise or struggle that you're going through is where it's defining your understanding of yourself. The Lord wants to absolutely obliterate that. The truth is, you were created to love him. Like the Lord says, you know, the first commandment, first, the greatest, Jesus says to us, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. His word is active and empowers, doesn't it? So as he speaks forth, he creates life. He empowers and brings forth what he's speaking, which is the intention of his heart. So the intention of his heart is that we would love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And I can stand here and testify to you that I have had a series of encounters where I've been in heaven, where all of the inhibitions and the restrictions of this realm, of our soul's journey, were completely broken off me, And everything in me, every fiber of my being, utterly worshipped God and loved him. Now, when we've had those experiences, we bring our mandate, isn't it, to bring heaven on earth? Mm-hmm. So what we touch in heaven is now ours. What we touch in God is now ours, and it incarnates in this realm, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, I'm going to just back it up with scripture so I don't get into trouble. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. Ezekiel 11:19, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. What I experienced in heaven was my undivided heart. That I can't always fully access in this realm. Well, I can now because of the grace that's come upon me because of the encounter that I've had. But you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
The pain that we walk through, the clutter that comes around our emotions will hold us away from a full expression, a full engagement with the and a full connection with the love and the heart of Jesus. Holy sha. But in the core of who we are, that's who we are. We are lovers of God, made in the very image and likeness. We will come forth fully experiencing the love that Father has for Jesus. Holy, Holy Spirit has for Jesus. They've brought us into themselves, haven't they? They've brought us in. We are now one with Christ. We were created to live in the perfection of holiness, in the expression of perfect love continually. And we're... These experiences began to show me this reality and that this is our birthright. This is where we're going. This is what we can increasingly walk in now. So, and then there are three encounters that I'm going to share with you. So as I'm speaking now, just engage. Engage so that this begins to usher you into your own experience with him. Holy. So there are three experiences I'm going to share with you, and the last one was a baptism of fire that I received in Israel, in Nazareth. That's an empowerment to walk in a greater degree of holiness, not in the schizophrenic fight that we can find ourselves in with the carnal nature, but a power to discern the difference between flesh and spirit, who we actually are in Christ, our life now redeemed in him, and the carnal nature, and to walk in the power of holiness through that level of discernment. So I want to be able to impart that to any of you that want to receive that at the end. But this first experience, I was taken up into heaven, and in the first few, even though I'd had a physical visitation from Jesus and I had many experiences, this was the first time that I went fully into heaven, and I was terrified. I was fully there, and in the first few seconds I was standing at the entrance, I think, of this vast throne room. It wasn't the main throne room that I've been in, it was one of the throne rooms in heaven, and it was for an ordination. Now again, as I'm sharing, this is not about me. Everything that I've walked through is our corporate reality. So I'm walking an identificational walk all the time for all of us, and I've come to realize that. I have, obviously, there's a huge, massive life change. Every deposit of heaven that I'm blessed to receive, I'm changed. I mean, true encounters will do that, don't they? They give us more of him. We become more like him. The perfection of his holiness touches us, and we are transfigured by light, by the light and the purity of his nature, and more of his wisdom comes into us, and more of his nature. But this was the first time I'd actually gone into heaven. So in those first split seconds, I felt like a little girl dressed in rags, and it was in this vast throne room. And all along the right-hand side of the wall were a company of the redeemed, and they were glowing, shining. And in front of me, I saw Jesus. Sha. Sha. Yeah. And I couldn't move. He was sitting on a throne, and he has, as I've seen him before, he has black hair. how he reveals himself to me is black hair to his shoulders. And light just pours out of his being. Light pours off his face, light pours out of his eyes. And it's his perfect love, and it hits you in waves, and you are just wrecked. Just wrecked. And healed and set free. So in that moment, I couldn't move. I was just standing there absolutely, completely overwhelmed and rigid. And by the Spirit's power, he just moved me. And so the next thing I found myself standing, there were three steps. And then Jesus was on the throne, and he was sort of here. And I collapsed on the floor, kneeling down as the glory was all around me. This was one of the most amazing things. This glory was coming out of him, but it was slightly dim in the room. And in my spirit, as I began to become more communicative and present, I said in my spirit, why is it low? Why is the light low? And he said to me, because you can't yet take my glory, but you will. In the fullness of it. So even he's so beautiful and so merciful, you know, it would have probably killed me. And so he just contained heaven's expression to me in that moment so that I could engage with him, receive what I needed to for the body of Christ here and for what I'm called to do and what we are called to do. And through this experience also, I realized that the highest calling of all of us is to minister to the heart of God. Above everything, isn't it? It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are the privileged ones that have been positioned to be able to love the heart of the King. He's created us to love him and to know his heart. And that what I've learned through the years is that that is the place of power. It's the pure. We don't do it for anything other than to love him. But the consequence of it is massive world-changing authority. Because we know who we are. We know who our King is. We're infused with his being, and we crush the enemy. Because the light of his being, the realm of his presence just obliterates everything that we touch. It's defiled and unredeemed. It just is reconstructed, redeemed. The enemy has to move out of the way because he can't stand in the presence of the glory. And when you're ministering to God in the glory, we become carriers, don't we? We leak God. And there's no argument. You know what I mean? We don't have to bind and this and that and fight and blah. You know, there's a place for that, but you literally just abide. You're centered, you're connected, you're loving, you're operating as a priest and a king. You execute his authority and bang. There's lots of stories that I can tell you where I've learned the outworking of that. I've worked in lots of different ministries down the years. I've walked with Wendy Alec for the last 10 years. I've walked with Sean Bowles prior to that. I thought that these are names that you would be familiar with. Other ministers in the business sphere, in the media sphere, across the church world, where the Lord has, by his grace, taught me things that if at the end of the day, it comes back to ministering before God, knowing who we are, increasingly allowing his nature to infuse into us, because there is no greater authority that can trump the nature of God. The nature of God, as we know, the presence of God is power, is the point. He is God. He is the King. And everything else in all the created realms know that. They know that. They know, you know, the witches, we have occasional interference from witches. And we're constantly just praying love bombs and peace bombs into the covens that track us, you know, and try and do all sorts of silly stuff. And we just have, you know, releasing the glory. So I'm going all over the place here, but the Holy Spirit is talking. So just, are you guys okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. The witches cross over the other side of the street in the place that we're from when the ones that have the light are walking down the street. So they want to avoid, they can see the difference. You know, so they know the authority is the light. There's a beautiful woman of God who's been delivered out of Anton LaVey's satanic church. Long story cut very, very short, she was trained to be a priestess of Satan and horrifically abused, as you can imagine, extremely damaged. And there's a friend of ours that mothered her and brought her out, got her out of it. Jesus visited her, she was set free. She's been on a journey of being completely reconstructed by the Lord. One of the things that she taught, so she was a part of a hit squad that would go in, and she was assigned to kill Benny Hinn. And so she went in, she clearly failed. Awesome man of God. Anyway, long story cut, very, very short. She was assigned, she was trained, and she was told to go to the conference, and they were going after his everything, you know, his marriage, his life, blah, blah, blah. And in the middle of the conference, Benny turned around off the platform and just said, lady, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he called out, under the power of the Spirit, he called out, you know, you've been assigned to come here, whatever the actual language was, to kill me, you know, please don't do that. Please don't do that. That is not wise for you. And he loosed the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit just hit her and her partner. And they froze and all their power shut down. And she said they freaked out and ran out of the stadium. Because they had been taught when they are on assignment to kill leaders and to curse their lives, the only ones that they are not to touch are the ones where they see the light. And they said, if you see the light, do not mess with it. This is the Satanist, the top Satanist teaching them this. If you see the light, do not touch them because you will die.
Wow.
Major key. Be filled with light. Be filled with light. Be filled with the one who is all authority. And, I mean, I go figure. I just think, why do these guys, it's such a deception, isn't it? If they know that, mm-hmm. why are they still on that side? Yeah. If they know there's a greater power, come on in. You know, it's just, anyway, such a deception. But so that was a major key for us to learn as well. It's like, be filled. And it was, my life's journey has been about that. It's been about Jesus inviting me into his presence and filling me increasingly with who he is and understanding. And when I'm working with intercessors, this is what we do. We're training people how to live in his presence and prioritize relationship with him. Do the first commandment first. And be filled and then leak him. You know, live in the overflow. Love each other in the overflow of his love. That's the privilege, isn't it? That's the privilege of the life that we've been given. It's just amazing. Anyway, so somebody wanted, the Lord wanted somebody to know that. So I was standing, I was kneeling down before the throne in heaven, and Jesus, the love that's in him, was just cascading into me and setting me free. So in split seconds, my consciousness of this realm, I was not there, I was not here. I was fully present there. The inhibitions, the self-consciousness, the journey that we all share, it was gone. Everything in me, it's like the power and the love that was up, that is who he is and the love he has for us, was so pouring into me that it activated, so I'm trying to find language to describe heavenly realities, but the core of me, my undivided heart, was brought forth into predominance, if you like. The spirit of who we are now, that utterly loves God, was set free. And every part of me began to, I didn't care that the room was filled with the redeemed. I mean, that was an awesome thing, which I'll share in a second, but all my whole being just was set free, and I, in uninhibited, complete abandonment, I screamed worship. Just screamed worship. I was holy, who, this is who we are. This is who we are before God. And when he sets us free to be truly aligned with who we are, everything in us is fully love. And he, you know, he enables us to just, yeah, be free to be who we really are. So I just was screaming worship and crying, and then he leant towards me, and I reached up my hand and touched the side of his face. You know, it's one moment with the king, isn't it? One moment, and we're free. And we are to live beyond the veil, aren't we? We are. That's our privilege. We're supposed to now live in heaven, on earth, abiding in Christ. That's what Paul says over and over and over and over and over in the letters, isn't it? In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. All of our needs are met through his riches in glory, in Christ Jesus. We access our inheritance. We access the fullness in Christ. The key is in him. living and moving and having our being in the one who created us, where there is no darkness, where no demons dwell, there is no sickness in Christ, there is only perfection in Christ. Yeah. So we just keep turning into him on the inside, connecting, being filled, releasing him through the yielded life. So everything in me was fully abandoned, and I connected into the reality that we have an undivided heart. We might have a broken set of emotions in this journey, but the spirit of us is undivided. So then he just sat. Heaven waited for me. They waited for me. It was so moving. He loved my worship. He loved it. It's the way we can love him. You know, our little voluntary expressions of true love is what he died for, isn't it? It's what he created us for. So heaven waited while I was a wreck and undone and loved him with every fiber of my being. But it did something to me. It set me free and it calibrated me, if I can use that word. It realigned me into that truth, to live from that state now, that I love him. No matter what my life journey consists of, no matter what lies the enemy puts on me, I can default back into that truth, that before God, he looks at us with utter complete love. There's nothing in him other than utter complete love, and his love draws us forth into life, into the fullness of who we are. And everything in my being, in who I really am, utterly loves God. There's no condemnation. So anything that the enemy tries to define you by that's contrary to that one truth is a bunch of junk. It's a bunch of junk. So heaven is fully invested. Heaven's love for us is, as we know, it's perfect. It's perfect love. Ha! It casts out all fear. So then the Lord, after quite a long time, the Lord then stood up. Jesus came over to me and he stood behind me. And he turned me round to face the room. And all along the left-hand side of the room, as I told you, were a company that I understood was, there was a Holy, you know, in heaven, there's just impartation into you. There's like, I've not yet seen their lips move. There's impartation of knowing from spirit to spirit. So Jesus infused the knowing into my spirit that these were a company of Esthers. And he put this beautiful light crystal, looked like living crystal light garment over me. And again, receive this for yourself. This is our reality. This is who we are. He said to me, you don't just wear this. This is who you are. Mm-hmm. And I was infused with the knowledge and the grace to position myself in my life as the priority of my life as being one who is able to minister to the king, like Esther did to Xerxes, which gives us a picture, obviously, of us and Jesus. Our life is about ministering to the king, living from the place of his favor, understanding that we absolutely have the favor of God. His scepter is extended to us all the time. We have that privileged position to minister to him, to know his heart, to come in agreement with his heart and see this realm come into conformity with the counsel of his revealed will. Yes. Priest and king. Yes. And the authority that we have changes nations, literally changes nations. One moment that's real with the king, we get his heart, we come in agreement, and it will start to bring a God shift. We've seen it. There's lots of stories I could share, but I don't have time today. That is the core place. If we live there, we will be world changers, because it's who we are. It's who we are. Of course, this is, the earth is his and everything in it, you know. And so all we're doing is partnering in the redemptive plan unfolding from that place of intimacy, which is the design. So everything is flowing out of this incredible, beautiful, holy, pure love affair with him, mm-hmm. where, you know, it's the closest place, isn't it? Oneness with him, knowing his heart, and then becoming oracles, just releasing divine truth and you shift it. You just keep speaking his creative word as an extension of his being connected into his heart until you see whatever it is shift. And there's no failure in God. His word's not ever, like he says, it's not going to return to him void, having not accomplished that for which he sent it forth into the earth to do. You become an extension of creative power from the place of the priesthood. Office of prophet, priest and king, oracles of God. And that's the season we're in, isn't it? He's bringing us forth now, so aligned, so connected, so purified, so yielded, that we can become unhindered conduits of world-changing love and power and the presence of God, that to touch a dying world with resurrection life. That, you know, in wherever he's called you to, whether it, you know, you're working in a shop or whether you're in ministry or whether you're a mom or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. It's about abiding in his presence, letting the Spirit of God rest over you, just being ruthless with your mind, with your emotions, that they sit in truth. You know, if anything contradicts the nature of God, don't listen to its counsel. You know, as you guys know here, you just don't allow the spirit of fear to counsel you. If it doesn't look like his nature, reject it. It's not your birthright. It's not who you are. It's part of the counterfeit and the fallen, and that's not where we belong. It's not who we are. Holy. Okay, I'm gonna have to speed up a little bit, I think. So the robe of identity was placed on me, and I think these are physical realities in heaven, aren't they? But I think also many times the Lord will speak to us through, it's like he speaks to us in the language that we can understand and comprehend. And so he imparts and infuses us with wisdom in a way that we can digest and receive. And so that's what he showed me, the office of responsibility and privilege that we have. And then he walked me all the way down the left-hand side. So if this is a little bit out of the box for some people, probably not. You guys are radical revivalists, aren't you? So it's all right, but it's all, I can prove it with scripture. But anyway, witness it through your listening with your spirits. The Holy Spirit will speak to you what he wants you to receive. So all the way down the left-hand side, I walked with Jesus down the side of the road, the left-hand side of the room, and met with him a company of Esthers. They were the redeemed in heaven, filled with light. As I touched their hands, none of them spoke to me, but what came off every single one of them was utter love. That they are championing us on to finish the race. Like, it was just utter love and value. You know, like we were valuing you. That's what it's like in heaven, but times a squillion. You know, it's just, it's like power love. You know, power love. That's who they are to us. They're family, aren't they? They're alive in Christ. They're there in the glory, and they're championing us on. They really are. And it was just complete love, and everything coming off their being was affirmation. You are valuable. You know, I felt honor, like completely honored. I can't, you know, Jesus imparted. So that we have value beyond price. We have value beyond comprehension. We are the focus and the intention of heaven. Mm. We're the focus of the Godhead. Jesus, as you know, he's utterly invested in bringing forth his counterpart. We will, as this whole thing wraps up, we will look exactly like him. Mm. We are made in the image and likeness of God, the exact likeness of God. His nature is infusing into every aspect of who we are, and we speed that process up as we abide. We just remain connected, like we were singing, you know, we are the branches, he is the vine. Absorb the nutrients of his nature into your being every day. That's why worship's so powerful. It changes us. One of the things I shared on Saturday night is I've not been sick for 17 years not even for a cold. I got cursed 3 times by some witches, and was putting stuff on me. As soon as we saw that, broke the curses off, and everything lifted. So, and that is one of the graces, I believe, of living in the abiding life, living in from encounter to encounter, because to use this language, the frequency of the perfection of his being is infusing us. is infusing us, so the light is pouring into us, and everything that is not designed to be part of who we are as a new creation, i.e. sickness, cannot remain. Yeah. It cannot remain. There's no sickness in Christ. Yeah. So I just share that to you to give you hope. You know, this is what one of us can walk in. We can all walk in. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're one in Christ. It's all of our birthright. He does not want his body sick. Full stop. Full stop. Yeah. Full stop. And many times I feel sickness coming on people as a spirit. Mm-hmm. It's not always, but many, many, many times I rag that thing off people. It's like, off. Because it's violating the body of Christ. How dare sickness come near us? You know, sorry, I don't like anything from the realm of darkness. So I won't tolerate it. So, as you can imagine, when I came out of that experience, I was completely changed. Completely, completely changed. And more truth, more power inside of me. Every encounter will give us more power in it. I'm going to just run to one more encounter, and then I'm going to just impart to whoever wants the baptism of fire that I received in. Whoa! Okay. This is to give you the strength. This next encounter is to give you the strength of who we are, that we can walk in now, that I experienced on the last day of human history. I was taken into the future by Jesus, and I witnessed the last day of human history, of when all of us, billions of us, now finally home, human history's wrapped up. I'm going to get completely wrecked. I'm not kidding. It was the moment when Jesus comes into view in heaven for the first time fully, and we're all home. And I was standing watching it, and it was just a sea of humanity, literally billions upon billions upon billions assembled in heaven. And it was like Jesus came into view, and I can't even describe it, but this roar of ecstatic joy erupted as we screamed with complete ecstatic love for our King. Free. Free to love him. No separation ever again. Full understanding beginning. The wedding celebrations underway. The Lord's given me a number of encounters like this where I've seen our freedom. I've tasted the freedom. You know, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom, right? Christ came that we would walk in freedom, freedom, freedom from freedom to love him, freedom to reveal him, freedom over all works of darkness, freedom to live in both realms simultaneously and bring the kingdom on earth. You know, how do you bring the kingdom on earth? By living in the kingdom. You can't administrate what you don't know, you know. So yeah, I've seen visions of the angels preparing the wedding supper and the joy that's going on in heaven and the celebration. It's like they want us to get with it. They want us to absorb and touch the joy and touch the freedom now. Live in what we've seen now, because that makes the enemy scream. He hates it. Joy is so powerful, as you guys know. It is a powerful, powerful weapon in our arsenal. I've been blasted many times with joy, as lots of you have, you know, but it's the strength of God, isn't it? And so I think the Lord's, for me, he's been showing me another realm of, another aspect of joy, of the that's coming from the celebration. You know, they live in the celebration of the victory of the cross in heaven. They get it fully, who we are. You know, they are not defining us by pre-cross. Yeah. They're defining us by post-cross, by the reality of who we are now as a new creation. Yeah. And the all of human history is heading towards the wedding supper of the Lamb. You know, and on. And the They are mobilized. Heaven has mobilized the redemption of this planet, mobilized behind the redemption of this planet. Romans 8 is going to be fully fulfilled. You know, the earth is going to be broken free from its bondage to decay as the sons of the kingdom become visible. You know, and that's a whole other story about transformation and land healing and blah, blah, blah. The Lord's taught us lots of things about that. That's another story. So, but, you know, it all comes back to that place of connection, connection, connection. Mm-hmm. Prioritizing loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and just keep going in through the worship. It's so amazing. Or in through the word. So, yeah, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just want to encourage you to ask Jesus to show you where we're headed, who we are. I'm sure you guys are, because you're just hungry for him. But when, like the last day experience, I mean, that happened to me a number of years ago now. I still get wrecked by it. I can't, you know, you can go back by faith, can't you, and re-engage a place of visitation that you've had with the Lord. I just go back and I meditate on that, and it undoes me every time. I live in the strength of, you know, whatever happens in our life journey from here to there, that's where we're going. And we can touch that freedom to whatever degree the Lord will enable us and empower us to now. To live in the joy of the finished work of the cross. To live in the freedom of who we are now. Come on. So the last thing, and then I will stop talking, this is a long story, but I'll condense it to the one experience. Jesus, my family thought I'd lost my mind. I took my then 1-year-old daughter out to Israel with a friend of mine in August in the blistering heat, because Jesus told me to go to the upper room literally and meet him there. And so, of course, I'm like a Jesus junkie, so I'm like, I'm gone. I'm going to Israel. So didn't realise that you shouldn't really travel as a woman in the Middle East on your own. It's not wise. So, but anyway, the Lord protected us, and he brought amazing brothers who run ministries over there to look after us. And we were at a ministry run by a lady then who's now in glory called Ruth Ward Heflin, who was Benny Hinn's spiritual grandmother. And she wrote an amazing book called Glory. And so we were at her ministry. And so every day, it was just divine encounters. It was the most extraordinary 2 weeks of my life. Every day was just a God agenda. And on one of the days, we were with a whole group of Christians who we'd met at the ministry. This was the first time I'd ever seen the glory. Like at this level in a ministry context where there was a lady who had thalidomide, and she had no arms, her arms grew back in the glory. You know, there was just, it was amazing miracles, you know, just like gold dust all over everybody every day, and just like mass deliverance happening spontaneously in the glory as people worshipped, and gemstones that the scientists in Israel were testing and couldn't work out where they'd come from all over the floor, and you know, it was just like, people worshipped, and it was the sweetest thing, because the lady that was leading the worship, it was quite an old-fashioned sort of a lady, you know. And she didn't rock up in like ripped jeans and, you know, look amazing. She was a very proper older lady, and she just sat at the piano and played this like one little tiny tune, and just terribly, terribly proper. And in my terrible judgmental mind at the time, I'm going, oh my goodness, Lord, where am I? You know, Lord, help! And suddenly the presence of God just went in the room. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, she's your friend. I'm sorry.
She's your friend.
Wow. And then the miracles started flowing. It was just amazing. Anyway, so there's a million... I could write a book on that trip. It was just so awesome. So anyway, we know when you just do crazy stuff for God and you don't even care about the consequences, you look back later and think, I could have been killed. We actually got kidnapped temporarily. Oh, that's another story. But anyway, that was like crazy. We were staying on the Gaza Strip. It was completely mad in a safe house. But you just do this stuff for Jesus, don't you? He's like, go there. I wanted to go to Lazarus's tomb and see Mary and Martha's house. And it's all on the Gaza Strip, you know, so it's extremely dangerous. But I'm like, it's okay, Jesus will look after us, you know. And he did. Anyway, my final story was Jesus took us all over the place, and we ended up on this tour, and it was at the end of the day, and Faith, my daughter, was quite dehydrated, and I was very, very tired, and Brother David, who was looking after us, said, you need to come in to... We were at the Catholic Church building that's now over the site of Mary's original house, where she conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit in Nazareth. So I was really tired, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to go in, I don't want to go, I mean, you know, blah, 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 and my baby's not, you know, she's dehydrated, da, da, da. And David was saying, no, no, Liz, I just feel the Lord's got something for you here, you need to come in. So I kind of, you know, stomped in, and I'm standing at what is the remains of Mary's house, which looks like a cave for any of you that haven't been there. And then the church is built over the top of it, and it's just on a little street in Nazareth. And so I'm standing there looking at the remains, thinking, wow, you know, just for a moment, but not being, I was not terribly spiritual, but just impacted by the history that I was looking at, obviously. The next thing, this power came on me, like, was shaking me, just like an electric power shaking me and shaking me, and so much so that I was scared. And the Christians that came around me said, don't worry, this is the baptism of fire. This is a baptism that comes from here, which carries revival. Yeah. And so, I mean, it was extraordinary. And I was praying. I didn't stop praying in tongues for days, literally. I've got a picture of me walking down Nazareth High Street, blessing. There was all the little Arabic children playing in the dirt. And I was just blessing them. And I was praying. Like, I had all these Aramaic-sounding tongues and Hebrew tongues. And it was just extraordinary. I mean, the bus driver wasn't a Christian. He just thought we were absolutely insane. I think he thought we were drunk, you know. But just the love of God. And that's where the Lord birthed his heart for Israel in me. He began to break me with his love for his blood family. Wow. And it was extraordinary. And so anyway, what happened after that, so it went on for days. I mean, I was all over. It was so sweet. Faith, who's my little girl, who was one, she was singing. Like, we'd go through checkpoints because we were staying on the Gaza Strip, and she'd be singing over the soldiers. And little, you know, it was so sweet because the glory was just falling onto her. So we were just singing and praying and loving the Lord and blessing the land. And then I realized that as time went on, I was completely different again. The fruit of that baptism was a different measure of grace to walk in holiness. It was like a discernment and a grace and a power not to compromise. But just, it was like it took it out of me. You know, I just was not interested in entertaining compromise. I don't say that I walk perfectly, but there was a measured difference from that time of power that came into my life. So I wanted, that was what I, whatever they want to do, I just wanted to impart that onto you guys, because, as I mean, obviously it's Holy Spirit that will do this. So as we look at him, but yeah, I don't know how you want to do that. Do we have time?
An hour?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we do?
Got 45 minutes.
We do, okay. Oh, yeah. So would you guys like to have some time where I can just pray with you?
Yes.
Because I would love to do that. Okay. Okay. So, I mean, we just pray with each other. I'm just activating. I mean, everything I'm saying is impartation. I just don't want you to listen here. It's like, just drink. Yeah. Drink, drink, drink. But that was, that was a life changer. All of those experiences that I shared were life changing, but I would love to do that. Whoever of you wants this, I would love to just let Holy Spirit be God.
Can I share what happened between you and I at the conference?
Yes, absolutely.
So I walked up to Liz, and I, Johnette had said she thought she'd spoken in a revival group, and so I was like, oh, yes, I'm going to get her in our group. So I walked up to her, and I said, oh, did you speak in a revival group last night? And she goes, no, I spoke with some students, and I was like, oh, well, literally, I didn't even have words to put to what happened. I felt something come out of her and into me and back out again. I've never experienced that in my entire life. And I didn't know.
Amazing.
She looked at me and she goes, "Do you feel that?" I was like, right now as I'm standing here with her. So I want you to just really engage your spirit and just receive what she's carrying.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. It was really special, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. I get hot with the anointing, excuse me.
Yes.
So how do you want to do this, ma'am? Do you guys want to just get up and move around and like come here and I'll just pray with people? Whoever, I'll just pray with you.
Why don't we take the chairs and stack them to the back of the room?
And I just encourage you guys to pray for each other. You know, let it just, same Holy Spirit.